Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key, or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. But I feel alright, I feel alright tonight. I feel alright, I feel alright tonight. And I bring you Christmas contraband and
Right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. It is Wednesday. That means Wild Card Wednesday.
Yeah, baby, Wild Card Wednesday.
That was cranked up a little.
Yeah.
That's better. A little weird. All right. Anyway, Wild Card Wednesday, get your requests in now. It's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Coming up a little bit later on, after the 3 o'clock news, in fact, we will be talking to Matthew Hoffman, who programs the great shows over at the Pickwick Theater. He's part of the Park Ridge Classic Film Series. And they are showing tonight and today. They have two screenings of it, one at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, one at 7 o'clock tonight. A great film, The Right Stuff. They're showing it in the Mega Theater with the big screen, which is the way to see The Right Stuff. If you've never seen it on the big screen, you should really take this opportunity to get out to the Pickwick Theater and see it today or tonight. So we're going to talk with Matthew about The Right Stuff a little bit later on. Also coming up in just a few minutes, our good friend Rick Geezer is going to join us live in studio. He's the guy who has all the sports songs. Now, normally he comes in at the beginning of a specific sports season. And we'll do all football themed or an all baseball themed or all hockey themed and so on and so forth. But he's got a lot more minor sports, say, different kinds of sports that we don't sometimes focus on. So we're doing, the oddball sports. So we've got like wrestling and boxing and NASCAR and tennis, soccer, golf, that kind of stuff that we never really get to touch on. So he's coming in with some of the odd minor sports, and we'll play a whole bunch of sports songs with Rick just in a few more minutes. We have an edition of Know Your Onion. This is when Tom is your host, and he will read you news headlines, and you have to guess whether they are real or from The Onion. The Onion being a fake news satirical newspaper. But news in the real world is so strange now that sometimes it's hard to guess whether it's real or it's The Onion. So we'll do Know Your Onion. That'll be after the 4:30 news. Tom got the old Disney Plus, as many people did, as far as I can tell from my news feeds on the old social media. Lots of people got the old Disney Plus, and so we're going to talk about that and some must-watch stuff on that, and much more. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us for talk or text, and get your Wild Card Wednesday request in too. 312-981-7200. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Stay connected on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show, and subscribe to our podcast. Every single second of every show is podcast, and it's really easy. You can subscribe, go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. You can go to WGNradio.com. Subscribe. It's free. It will automatically be sent to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. Lots of people listen to our podcast. We thank you for that. All right. Let me say hello to my great producer, Tom Hush. Tom, how are you?
I'm great, Nick. How are you doing, man?
What's going on there, man?
I just forgot to turn it all on.
All right. I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm excited to hear some of these crazy sports songs from all these different sports that we never really get a chance to focus on.
Yeah, although I will say it's a little weird to hear soccer referred to as a minor sport.
Well,
it's the most popular sport in the world.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Minor here, though.
Never really caught on in America.
Not in any sort of big professional way.
Right.
They lovingly refer to the MLS as the retirement league.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, I worked at a British/Irish pub for a few years, and I've served drinks at 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
To people watching soccer games. There's a but you know, the people who love, obviously the Globe is the big, I mean, it's, I think it might be the biggest soccer bar in the country. I think
it wouldn't surprise me.
The Globe over on Irving is one of the most popular. But in fact, the guy who ran Ginger's when I used to work at Ginger's went over to the Globe.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, Ginger's was a real big soccer bar when I was in the, when I was working there and hanging out there.
Yeah, the nearest one I can think of is I think it's AJ Hudson's.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's the one. That's the one. That's the same place.
Yeah.
It's the that's it used to be Ginger's at yeah. Ashland and Grace.
Yeah, so that's the nearest one to me, but I never stop in.
Yeah,
because it's a Liverpool bar.
It is a Liverpool. Yes, it is. It is absolutely a Liverpool bar. There's no question about it. Yeah.
Every time if I drive by or if I go by, I just kind of shoot them a nasty look.
Yeah. No, it's definitely. I worked when it was Ginger's. It was owned by the same guy, and mm-hmm. he's a Liverpool guy. So anyway, we got some crazy sports songs to play, and that's all coming up. And you got the Disney Plus.
I did, yeah.
We'll talk a little bit about that. You ready for the Know Your Onion?
Absolutely. I got some real doozies here.
Okay.
Some real doozies.
Very cool. And in the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Vic, how are you, sir?
Doing very well, sir.
Yes, it's Wednesday.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Good.
Hump day?
Yes, it is hump day.
And I got to find a UFC, somebody in the UFC who came up with a great, who wrote a song or sang a song. I was talking to him, your guest that you'll have on soon.
Yeah.
We were talking, I asked, have you found any UFC fighters that ever did anything? Not yet. So
no.
If anybody's got one, email them in.
There you go. UFC fighters, we want to hear some songs from those guys. We've got some very crazy stuff here. There's a lot to choose from. We got a lot of sports songs that we're going to get to this morning, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep.
Okay, so, excuse me, Tom is in producing. Vic is in the newsroom. I am your host. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. We're going to be listening to some sports songs with Rick Geezer coming up in just a few minutes, and then we'll jump into some other things, too, like Know Your Onion and some of the stuff to watch on Disney Plus, and also most hated TV characters. We might jump into that, too. So that's all coming up right here on 720 WGN. So why don't we take a break? And also, Matthew Hoffman's going to join us to talk about his screening of two screenings today at 1 and tonight at 7 of the great film, The Right Stuff. So we'll talk about that as well. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Rick Geezer will be in studio with me, and we will begin another edition of Sports Songs, this time with a whole odd assortment of sports. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. It is Wednesday, Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in now, 312-981-7200. And we've got a Know Your Onion coming up. We're going to talk about Disney Plus and some of the most hated TV characters of all time. That's all coming up on the show, 312-981-7200. But right now, we are doing a special edition of Sports Songs. We always have Rick Geezer in. When sports seasons start or end, we have him come in. But there are so many more sports that he has in his collection that we wanted to do just the odds and ends of sports and get Rick in here live. Rick, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm calling this minor sports,
yeah.
But they're really not minor. There's some huge personalities, some great names, and we're going to have a lot of fun today.
All right. So what did we just hear?
That was the legendary wrestler Antonino Rocca.
Mm-hmm.
He wrestled in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. That's from from an album he put out in 1965 of songs he wrote and arranged.
Yeah, there you go. And it's called In This Corner, The Musical World.
It's a very nice album, and there's a picture of him jumping on the cover.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
So we're going to be covering wrestling, boxing. We got NASCAR. There's tennis. There's soccer. There's golf. All kinds of assorted and varied sports this morning. First of all, tell everybody about Sports Songs.
Well, Sports Songs are any song performed by an athlete, coach, ref, owner, anyone involved in the world of sports.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing this for years on your show.
Yes.
And we've pretty much hit every one of those categories more than once.
Absolutely. And we figured, like I said, normally you'll come on like the beginning of hockey season, the beginning of football season or baseball,
right,
or stuff like that. But we have been kind of not focusing on a lot of the other sports that you have.
Well, and I understand that because, yeah, you know, you got to go with the big ones. But, and, you know, these sports are big to people. And,
absolutely,
you know, when the big events happen, we all pay attention to them.
Yep.
But, you know, we pay attention to the big sports.
That's exactly right. All right. Well, where do you want to start?
Why don't we go to track 34?
Okay.
Track 34 is probably one of the biggest personalities in the world of sports. My favorite athlete of all time, Muhammad Ali.
Mm.
And in 1976, he put out an album called Muhammad Ali versus Tooth Decay. And this was a children's LP, and it included Howard Cosell, Jane Kennedy, Ossie Davis, a whole lot of different stars. Frank Sinatra was part of it.
Wow.
Richie Havens, the singer.
Wow.
And this is...
That's quite a lineup.
It is, indeed. It's a fun album. And Muhammad Ali sings this song. It's the historical song. He sets himself in the world of history.
Oh, so it's just the historical song by Muhammad Ali.
Exactly.
Okay, well, let's hear that.
Who knocked the crack in the Liberty Bell?
Ali.
Who really gave that bell a smack?
Ali.
Who punched it so hard that the bell did crack? Hit it so hard with an awful whack.
Ali.
Country dear.
Ali.
Who made the ride?
That's pretty great.
Paul Revere.
He wrote, I love that the album is called Muhammad Ali Fights Mr. Tooth Decay.
Somebody has to, yeah, finally.
Yeah. So that's pretty great. That's pretty great. And he did all that stuff historically.
He did.
It's all accurate.
It's very accurate.
Yes.
It's not fake news.
That's great. Muhammad Ali. He was something, man. He really was.
He was amazing.
Remember
That's
when he
the
lit
thing.
The torch at the Olympics?
Oh, that was one of the greatest moments, the 1996
it was
Atlanta
amazing.
Games.
Yes. It was amazing. So, okay, what do we got next?
Okay, why don't we go to track 49? This is the king of auto racing, the king of NASCAR, Richard Petty. He's going to sing a song that we all know, a Roger Miller classic, King of the Road.
Uh-huh.
And this is from 1975. There was an album they put out, NASCAR put out, called NASCAR Goes Country.
Wow.
And on the album included other people such as Darrell Waltrip, Cale Yarborough, Buddy Baker, a whole bunch of, you know, big names in the world of NASCAR. Let's listen to the King Richard, because you know, everyone knows
That's
him.
Okay, Richard Petty, here we go.
Come on, baby, let the good times roll. Come on, baby, let me thrill your soul. Come on, baby, let the good times roll. Roll all night long. Come on, baby, this is it. This is something that I just can't miss. Come on, baby, let the good times roll. Roll all night long. Come on, baby, just close the door. Come on, baby, let's rock some more.
That is Richard Petty. I just gave the wrong song title.
Oh, okay.
That was me screwing up a little bit.
Oh, okay.
But it's one in
but
the morning.
Richard,
so come on.
It's still Richard Petty. Okay.
He just didn't do King of the Road.
Okay.
He did, you know, let the good times roll.
All right.
And
very
we're
good.
Doing that tonight.
All right.
We're letting it roll even though we're making mistakes.
All right. All right. What's next?
Well, how do we go to track 58?
All right.
In 1956, a woman in the world of tennis did something no one else had ever done. She was the first African-American woman to win a major tournament.
Wow.
Her name is Althea Gibson. And as a result of that, then in 1959, she put out an album called Althea Gibson Sings on Dot Records. And this is a song she called, or what we all know, called Dream a Little Dream.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Shining bright above you, night breezes seem to whisper I love you, birds singing in the sycamore tree, dream a little dream of me, say nighty night and kiss me, just hold me tight and tell me you miss me, while I'm alone and blue as can be, dream a little dream of me. Stars fading, but I linger on, dear, still craving your kiss. I'm longing to linger till dawn, dear, just saying this. Sweet dreams till sunbeams find you. Sweet dreams.
That's pretty good.
That's really good.
Yeah.
It's a good album.
Yeah.
I gotta say, it's nice to hear that nice crackle. The crackle of the vinyl.
Of the vinyl.
Isn't that excellent?
That adds to it.
And by the way, for people who obviously can't see into the studio right now, because, you know, this is radio. I don't know if we remember that or not.
Wait, what? It is?
But you can't see. You have to listen. But Rick brings a whole bunch of stuff usually with him. We've got 45s in the building. We've got albums. We've got CDs, all kinds of stuff. And he always lets me look at the album covers and whatever we're playing. So it's also a lot of fun. And we'll take a couple of pictures we can throw online as well to show you some of the stuff. Okay, that was cool. That was very good. Okay, we got time for one more before we break.
Okay, let's go to track 75.
All right.
And this is arguably, Tom, you let me know. You're the soccer fan.
Okay.
The greatest soccer name in the world, Pele.
Yeah.
And in 1969.
Star of victory.
Yes, indeed. He also starred in a movie called Pele.
Yes, he did.
And we'll hear a song from that a little later. But in 1969, he put out a song with Brazilian singer Elis Regina. And I can't speak Portuguese.
Okay.
So let's hear the song.
Pele. There you go. Judging by the cover of the 45, they seem to be having a good time together.
They are laughing at something.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's break. We take a break here. We've got assorted sports here this morning, and we'll get back to it right after we do the news. You know, it's sports songs, assorted odds and ends sports that we never really get to. Rick Geezer is kind enough to be here live. Thank you for coming down.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun.
When people find out who that was, because that was a jam.
That was a total jam, of course. Rock and Roll by Led Zeppelin.
That's right. So who was that?
That was John McEnroe and Pat Cash, both tennis stars. McEnroe, of course, the bigger name.
Yeah.
But joining them on that is more impressive. The two of them played guitar, but on bass guitar is Steve Harris of Iron Maiden.
One of the greatest bass players of all time.
A great drummer. One of the great drummers, Nico McBain, also from Iron Maiden.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. And then they do a vocal version of this on the flip side, and they got Roger Daltrey to sing it.
Some hack named Roger Daltrey, exactly.
It's amazing. That's amazing.
I gotta say, notice how it's going at like double time. They're
going
so fast.
Yeah. Well, when you got Steve Harris and Nico McBain in there, you're gonna go fast.
I imagine the recording session, if they messed up, you got John McEnroe. You cannot be serious.
Yeah, throwing his guitar around.
He's throwing exactly. And McEnroe's performed with a lot of different people through the years.
It's well known that McEnroe played guitar.
Exactly. Exactly. So. And his wife, of course, was Patti Smyth from Scandal.
Oh, Patti Smyth. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Wasn't he married to Tatum O'Neill, too?
He was back in the day.
1986 to 94.
He said
Tatum
goodbye
O'Neill.
To you, to her.
Wait a minute. He's married to Patti Smyth?
Yeah, from Scandal.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, for a long time. I think they're still married.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty cool. I didn't know that. I love Scandal.
He's even played with her.
Yeah, I don't. How am I not aware of this?
This is a family-oriented show, young man.
Wow. By the way, we got a text here.
Yes.
And if anybody wants to call in or text in or has any leads on, because you're always looking for more sports songs, always.
Definitely.
This was funny though, but there's a connection here.
Okay.
It says this is one of those nights when I wonder if I'm dreaming. It's like a very bizarre return of Dr. Demento. Now, you have a connection to Dr. Demento.
Dr. Demento, one of my heroes, one of my mentors.
Yeah.
He helped get me started in this because I was working at another radio station out of town, and his show came to our station.
It was
station,
syndicated on your show.
And I wanted to be able to interview him, and we were doing sports stuff on the show, and I said, hey, any sports figures?
Yeah.
And he sent me a reel-to-reel tape. With about 20 or 30 different songs.
That's amazing. So that's how it all started.
And it all started with the doctor. And I run into him every year or so.
I used to listen to him every Sunday night. Every Sunday night, religiously.
He's the greatest.
And, the Funny Five.
I
love Dr. Demento. And then I became I was his competition. Because my Sunday night show was on the same time. Sunday night show was on the same time as Dr.
And he's no longer on the air, and you're on the air.
I am. I've been on way too long. No, not long enough. I love this job. Okay, where are we going next?
Let's go to track 77.
Right.
This is another a soccer star. A lot of Americans know this gentleman, Giorgio Canalia, because of being part of the great Cosmos team that included Pele and a number of I think Franz Beckenbauer was also part of that team.
Okay.
A great team. And he put out this song in 1974 he put it out in Germany, and it's called I'm Football Crazy.
All right, let's hear it.
Sunday morning, rain or shine, gotta make the game on time. All week long, gotta train, cause I'm better than the rest. All right. To start feeling good, rival team is raving too. On the field, think of you. Trainer says some love tonight. All right, all right.
Football crazy, yeah. Yes,
I love that as I'm looking at the sleeve of the 45, it's called I'm Football Crazy, but I'm is in parentheses.
Oh, yeah. because it could be him or it could be us.
Anybody.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody is football crazy. That's right. Okay, what's next?
Let's just go, let's stay in the soccer world for a bit on track 80. Kevin Keegan, a lot of people don't know him in the States, but in Europe, this guy is a superstar. In fact, this guy probably was the original media superstar in the world of sports in Europe. And he put out he's put out a number of songs throughout the years, but we're going to play a track that he put out in 1979 called Head Over Heels in Love. He's very dreamy looking. I'll show you the picture sleeve. And this is a song I think people are going to really enjoy.
Okay, Kevin Keegan.
You may be a stranger. Well, that's what time can do. Baby, you mean everything to me. Darling, there's no danger. With all that we've been through, that anyone could love you more than me. But I got news for you, babe. All the things you do, babe, make me think of how it used to be. And it looks like I'm falling all over again. Head over heels in love with you. Yes, wow. It looks like I'm falling.
And I'm looking at the sleeve of the 45. And by the way, I can't get the 45 back into the sleeve.
Oh, we'll figure that out.
Anyway.
They're very complex.
You have the contact information for his fan club.
Oh, of course.
So in South Yorkshire, England. So,
well, this guy is legendary over there, and he's still involved in the sport as a manager and in management.
Yeah, it took you 2 seconds to get the record back in. I was struggling to get a record back into the sleeve.
You haven't played with a 45 in
years. It's been a while since I've taken a 45 out of its sleeve. By the way, that's a major label. He's on EMI.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's big.
This guy was Tom, am I right? Is this guy a star?
Yeah, he was a big deal. He was continues to be a big deal, but he also managed Newcastle, so therefore I hate him.
All right. All right. What's next?
Okay, why don't we go to track 30? This is a song we've played before, but we've got to play it with the lesser known sports. This is a wrestler. This is a lesser known wrestler, Terry Funk.
Oh, he's not lesser known.
But well, maybe to the general public, not everyone knows him.
No, all right. Well,
to the general public,
okay, to people, for the general public. Yeah. For me, he's a legend.
Exactly, he is a legend. He's a hardcore legend.
Absolutely.
This is an album he put out in Japan in 1984 called "Great Texan," and we're going to hear a song that a lot of people may have heard once or twice, may have heard on Dr. Demento, but it's called "Barbra Streisand's Nose."
I was listening to my radio late last night when I heard a knock on my door. I went to the window and I peeked outside. It was a girl about 5'4". She said she saw my name on the bathroom wall, so she thought she'd give me a try. I unlocked the door and invited her in. It was then I realized she had Barbra Streisand's nose. She had Barbra Streisand's nose. Liberace smile that drives men wild. And Barbra Streisand's nose. She had Brooke Shields' hair. You should have been there. Boy, was I surprised. Bo Derek's hips and Mick Jagger's lips and Farrah Fawcett's eyes. Dolly Parton's chest, you know that's the best, and Herschel Walker's thighs.
You gotta be kidding me!
I was doing all right.
That's fantastic. We played this before.
We played it. It's just such a wonderful song. Fantastic. This is a great album.
And it's written by Jimmy Hart.
Mouth of the South.
That song was written by Jimmy Hart.
That's incredible.
Oh, that's great incredible. Stuff. That
if we have time,
stuff.
We'll try to get a few more songs from this album because it's definitely worth the listen.
Yeah. Oh, Terry Funk. Okay. Where are we going next?
Okay. Let's go to track 81.
All right.
This is a guy who is in the sports world. He was on Sports Illustrated he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He was in sports, but he was also on Wide World of Sports nearly every weekend in the 70s. Evel Knievel.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, we're around the age where we remember just how massive Evel Knievel was.
I had the Evel Knievel toys.
So did I.
And yep. And we would watch him jump the Snake River and then all the other ones.
There was George Hamilton made a movie. Where
he played
Evel Knievel. Evel Knievel was in a movie about him playing himself.
And he put out an album in 1974 called Evel Knievel.
Mm-hmm.
And on it, he just talks through most of it. He just tells stuff about his life. But on this song, well, it's more of a spoken word thing. It's called Why, where he tells a little bit about his life set to music.
There we go. Evel Knievel, everybody, a legend.
Seems that everywhere in this world I go, no matter who or what I know, the people, they look, and most of them stare. And I wonder if they really care. You see this cane with its golden crown? Some of them smile, but most of them frown. I hear them laugh, and I see them cry. No matter what, they all ask why. Why? Well, I'm just like you. And you. And you. And your wife. We all have a special purpose in life. And my way of life, I'm glad that I found, for like you, I too make the world go round. We're all alike. Oh, yes, we are.
This is fantastic.
We all have a dream on some faraway star.
Fantastic.
But only for you and you.
And your wife.
And you.
And your wife.
Sounds like a dark night of the soul for Evel Knievel.
Man.
Surprised I'm not hearing him take drags of an unfiltered cigarette in between stanzas.
Yeah. I wonder if he was wearing casts on his arms and legs at that time. Because, you know, it's well known he broke every bone in his body multiple times.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Rick, hang on a second.
Okay.
We're going to take a break. The fantastic Evel Knievel and more sports songs right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Yeah, and we're here. Rick Geezer joins us, usually, you know, at the beginning or the end of a specific sports season. But we have the odds and ends sports, the minor sports that we're doing, and we had Rick come in for a special visit. And Rick, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me.
What did we just hear?
We heard that was the Manchester United theme.
There you go.
and the soccer clubs in Europe, they all put out songs before seasons, and as they're going into, you know, if for countries if they're going into World Cup.
Yeah.
And so there's a great history of that in specifically England and Great Britain. And many of the songs have reached the upper echelons of the charts as well.
I'm not surprised. Not surprised. By the way, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN. All right, let's get back to it. Where do you want to go now?
Okay, why don't we go to we will go to track 39. And we played before the commercials. We played a spoken word by Evel Knievel. Let's do another spoken word by a great name in the boxing world. This is Jake LaMotta. And he put this out in 2002. And it's his spoken word version of My Way.
Jake LaMotta.
And now the end is near. And so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I lived a life that's full, I've traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this. I did it my way.
There you
go. Yes, there were times.
Boy, De Niro had his voice down.
Yes, he did.
Man.
Yeah, this was late in his life, so, yeah. But.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, when you know, when De Niro is, like, late in the film when he's all fat and everything, he sounds exactly like him.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
So, yeah, his then-girlfriend, Denise Baker, put out this CD. And, of course, the CD I have is autographed by both of
yes,
them.
Yes, it is.
Autographed I got them. That at that point. I got this off of their website.
Ah, and it's on Raging Bull Records.
Raging Bull. That's you right. Got it.
All right. All right, where are we going
Why
next?
Don't we go to track 403? This is a song, you're going to recognize the song, but you're not going to be able to understand a word of it. This is by a wrestler, a UFC fighter.
This is what Vic was requesting.
This is.
Okay.
This gentleman was in the early days of the UFC in the 90s. Mm. He also was in the 90s in the WWF. He also was in a number of the wrestling world's what do you call it? Promotions.
Yes.
And he's from Finland, and he was a politician. He was in the Finnish parliament, and he ended up committing suicide because of his alcoholism. This guy's name, you might remember him as Ludwig Borgia in the wrestling world, and his name is Tony Holm.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a song I think you might recognize.
Okay, here we go.
Kun sä saavut salille päin, kaikkien katseet kääntyy. Muskeli karjut laitteissaan, henkeä haukovaan. Mä pakeran jo perspirantissa pää, penkilläni punnerusta. Kun ohi mennen sut mä nään, se saa raudan nousemaan.
Where did you find this?
This was on sale. They were selling them when they first came out back in 2001, and I got it online.
Greatest version of physical I've ever heard.
Isn't that excellent?
That's very masculine.
Outstanding.
Uber masculine.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Physica.
Okay, we got time for one more.
Okay,
before we
let's
break.
Go to 402.
All right,
this is one of the greatest names in wrestling with one of the greatest live bands ever. This is Captain Lou Albano with NRBQ, and they put out a song called Captain Lou in 1985. This was on their own album. This was also on a variety of wrestling albums as well.
All right, good old Captain Lou. Here we go. Captain Lou from the Wrestling Rocks album, too. I see that they have, on that record, they have Pencil Neck Geek.
They do.
By the great Fred Blassie.
They do.
Yeah. All right, let's break here, and then we'll come back. We got more. Rick Geezer is here. More sports songs after the news. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. With me live in studio is Rick Geezer, who has all the sports songs.
Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, and we are doing odds and ends sports, sports that we normally don't focus on that we wanted to give some attention to. And tell everybody what that was again.
That was the Roca Changa by Antonina Roca, the wrestling legend from his 1965 album, In This Corner, the Musical World of Antonina Roca.
All right. Let's get back to it. Where you want to go?
Why don't we go to track 54? And on that track, one of the biggest names in tennis in the 70s and into the 80s, Bjorn Borg. He was part of a song by the DJ and performer Dr. Alban, and he and also soccer star Thomas Brolin were part of it, and they did a song called "A la vie," which means "friends in need" in Swedish. And this is a song that's going to stick, and you're going to be humming it for a long, long, long time.
Bjorn Borg, here we go.
A la vie, längtar efter sol igen, alla vi, längtar efter sommaren.
Borg for you on a Wednesday morning.
Bjorn Borg, yeah, of course. I mean, there's a lot of voices in there,
yeah.
But he is part of it, and Thomas Brolin as well.
There you go.
So that's a fun one.
All right, next.
Let's go to track 36. This is a boxer, Rocky Graziano. Not a lot of people don't remember this name, but he was always in the mix, but never a really huge star. In 1968, he put out a comedy album called Maharishi Yogurt. And so we're gonna hear a song from that album, and it's called Maharishi Rocky.
All right, here we go.
Maharishi Rocky, that's my name. Guru meditations, that's my game. I play the hardest guitar in this whole land. I'm Maharishi Rocky of the Lonely Heart Club Band. I taught those English singers the art of finding joy. I taught that famous movie when the one looks like a boy. But then they up and left me and didn't blow my mind, 'cause I still owned the bakery and they left their bread behind. Maharishi Rocky, that's my name. Guru meditation, that's my game. I play the hardest guitar in this whole land. I'm Maharishi Rocky of the Lonely Heart Club Band. I may indulge in yoga, depends on where I sit.
I don't even know what to say.
Is he any affiliation to the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band?
I would say whoever wrote the song, definitely was referring to it. Yes.
Wow, that was just. Then the album cover is just insane.
That's criminal.
It's so hilarious, Rocky Graziano. Okay. The Maharishi Yogurt.
Yeah, he went on to into the 70s and 80s. He was a greeter at various casinos around the country.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So he was always kind of in the mix of things, but never.
I remember the name. Exactly. I remember him. I absolutely remember Rocky Graciano, of course. That's funny. That's ridiculous. Okay. Where are we going next?
Why don't we go to track 388? And this is a jockey. Did jockeys do music? Yes, they did. In 1977, Steve Cawthon put out an album. This guy, you may remember him, he rode affirmed. He was the youngest jockey ever to win the Triple Crown in 1978. But he put out this album, and the song we're going to hear is a song called Win, Place, or Show.
Okay. How old is this kid?
He was 17 at the time because he was the youngest. He won the Triple Crown when he was 18, so this is the year before.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like he's 12 years old.
He looks like a baby on the horse on the cover.
On the cover. Man, okay.
Yeah, this is he was Sportsman of the Year for Sports Illustrated. This was he was a big deal in the world of sports in the 70s.
All right. Okay, very cool. All right, what do we got now?
Well, I know we got a text request,
yes,
an instant request to hear some music by the legendary Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
So why don't we go to track 300? And this is a song, and he put out a video for this song in 1992. It's a song called "I'm Your Man." It's outstanding. If you're a Roddy Piper fan, it's a great go to YouTube or one of the online sources to find the video, but the song is a terrific song, and you can't mention Roddy Piper without saying "They Live" rules.
Yes, absolutely. And this was a request. Somebody wanted to hear some Roddy Piper, so here you go.
I've been watching all night, 'cause everything about you, it's all right. The things you say, the things you do. Oh baby, I've been looking for you.
Roddy Piper jamming out there. There's a little request there from a listener who wanted to hear some Roddy Piper, and there he is. So, all right, we got a break. Rick, hang on.
All right, thank
you. Geezer is with us. We're talking about some sports here and some sports songs. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here till 5 a.m., and Rick Geezer is here. We're doing sports songs and some of the sports that we don't often focus on. What was that what we just heard?
That was called The Greatest. That was an instrumental co-written by Muhammad Ali from the LP Muhammad Ali, Songs Performed By, Written By, or About Muhammad Ali.
There you go.
This is from 1976.
And right, man, that's at the height of his popularity.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time, big time. All right. It's Rick Geezer, Sports Songs, and we're doing some minor sports or odds and ends sports. We're not focusing on one single sport like we usually do. We wanted to have a special visit from Rick to do some of the sports that we don't normally focus on. Okay, what's next?
Well, since we just played Muhammad Ali, why don't we go to track 230? One of his biggest foes in the boxing world was Smokin' Joe Frazier, and he was known to sing a song or two. And in 1975, he put out a song called First Round Knockout. Not only did he put out a song, he put it out on Motown.
Oh.
So, you know, this, of course, related to the fight game, First Round Knockout, but I think you might enjoy this.
Okay, here we go. You just handed me a stack of 45s.
All by Joe Frazier. He put out a lot of records through the years, a lot of 45s.
Amazing.
Dating back to 1969 when he put out a song called Knockout Drop.
Wow. Well, I love the flip side of this.
Is that Looky Looky?
Looky Looky, yeah. Look at me, girl.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Smoking Joe Frazier, everybody. All right. Okay, where are we going next?
All right, let's go to the world of golf, and that would be on, we'll go to track 141, and John Daly in 2002 put out an album with the help of some of his friends, including Willie Nelson is featured on some, Hootie and the Blowfish, just Darius Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish, and Johnny Lee. But this is an instant request for your producer, the producer Tom Hush.
Oh.
And he would like to hear the song I'm Drunk, Damn Broke.
Okay.
I'm drunk, damn broke. Ain't got a penny to my name. Most days I sit here talking to myself, but I don't remember my name. Could have been the whiskey or the gambling that put me here today. I'm drunk, damn broke. Ain't got a penny to my name.
It was back in 1991. When he got the call, they said, Big John, you're the next one on the list of the PGA. He said, that's great, I'll take the trip. And even though he might have took a sip to pay the bills, this was the only way.
I'm drunk, damn broke. Ain't got a penny.
So
you could hear when John was singing and the pros were singing.
Yeah. What is he admitting that he's an alcoholic? What's going on here?
He
doesn't have any money.
He's a drinker.
Okay.
He's got to be one of the most confusing sports personalities I've ever seen in my life. Just walking the green with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, trying to hit a, you know,
yeah,
hit a nine iron or something like that. He's just strange.
Okay. There you go. John Daly, everybody.
John Daly.
Okay. Where are we going next?
Let's go to 250. It's Jacques Villeneuve. Jacques Villeneuve is the 1995 Indianapolis 500 winner. He put out an album, a CD in 2007 called Private Paradise. This is one of the only songs on the album that's in English. It's called You Are.
Okay, here we go.
Not bad.
No, that's not bad. Too bad.
Not terrible.
No, not too bad.
Speaking of maybe bad, why don't we go to track 299?
Okay.
And this is by the Macho Man, Randy Savage. And in 2003, he put out a rap album, and this is a song called I'm Back.
Okay.
And he refers to some of the wrestlers in it, and at points of, you know, we don't know how long you're going to play it, but
okay.
But he's back and he's there with a vengeance.
There he is, Randy Macho Man Savage.
I'm the wrestling king, but now I'm spitting lyrics. Took a break from the ring, cause I want you all to hear this. Coming in a medium nobody expected. I've been in the game for years and I'm still respected. Macho Man Randy Savage, the true deep warrior. Critics have been going, yeah, donated to euphoria. People in the streets say,
Randy, you the illest.
And I'm one of the realists, so it's not hard to feel this. People wanna know if Macho's still in the ring. People wanna know if Randy's doing his thing. Everybody's talking, wanna know this and that. So I'ma tell you right now, Randy Savage is back. People wanna know if Macho's still in the ring. People wanna know if Randy's doing his thing. Everybody's talking, wanna know this and that. So I'ma tell you right now, Randy Savage is back. I'm back with vengeance and got good chemistry. Me and Big 3 about to shock the whole industry. Can't believe Macho Man's really rapping. Hooked up with the Rascals, we made this thing happen. Hit the studio to get paid in full. And I can make power moves, I got a lot of pull. Every time I'm in the streets, people still show love. They wanna know what's going on, they wanna know what's up. People wanna know if Macho's still in the ring. People,
this is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
He must have been emboldened by appearing in Spider-Man the year before.
That's pretty amazing. Randy Macho Man Savage. All right, Rick, hang on for a second,
all right.
Okay? We got a break for the news. It's all coming up right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive on this Wednesday morning. Wildcard Wednesday, get your requested now. You're 312-981-7200. Rick Geezer is here live in the studio.
Thank you.
And we're doing some sports songs here of various different sports. And again, what was that?
That was Don't Mess With Ali from the I Am the Greatest album, co-written by Muhammad Ali. Put out in 1976.
There we go. All right. Back with some more assorted sports songs. Where do you want to go next?
Let's go to track 76. We played some Pele earlier in the day, and I had mentioned, or in the morning, and I had mentioned that he put out some songs on from a movie that he did about his life, and the music was written by Sergio Mendez. And on this song, he sings a song called "Big City," and I think you're going to enjoy this.
Okay. Pele again.
Abre a porteira que eu quero entrar. Cidade grande me faz chorar. Aqui não tem o que eu tenho lá. Trovador no fim da tarde, dedilhando a viola. Passarinho gorjeando, anunciando o luar. E o fogão a lenha pra mãezinha cozinhar. Abra a porteira que eu quero entrar. Aqui não tem o que eu tenho lá.
Wow.
Abra a porteira.
There you go, Pele.
A little sleepy, but nice.
That's not bad. I love Sergio Mendez's suit that he's wearing.
Oh,
that's
great.
It's fantastic.
Anything in white.
Yeah,
yes.
Fantastic. All right, where we got
Let's
next?
Go to track 404. We played something by this gentleman earlier. It's Terry Funk, the wrestling legend. And in 1984, he put out an album called Great Texan. Earlier, we heard the song Barbra Streisand's Nose. This one, it's a breakup song. A breakup song by Terry Funk. And this song is called Touch Your Heart.
Terry Funk, everybody. This is the softer side of Terry Funk.
Touch your heart.
To say, and it's hard for me to do, for me to say goodbye to you. It's hard to say, and it's very hard to do, is for me to say goodbye to you. After 2 long years, we're together again. You waited for me, honey, and you know you're my friend.
Wow. Did Jimmy Hart write this, too?
He did not. It was a Japanese writer. This was recorded in Japan with all Japanese musicians.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So that explains the sleeve.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Yeah, a number of the wrestlers in that era were huge in Japan.
Yeah, of course. I mean, wrestling in Japan, the Japan circuit is something that every wrestler does.
And it's getting bigger again.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Good old Terry Funk. All right. Where are we going next?
Let's go to track 47. And this is a song by the king of NASCAR, one of the kings of NASCAR, Dale Earnhardt. And in 1985, they put out an album in 75 we played earlier called NASCAR Goes Country. And in 1985, they put out the World Series of Country Music, proudly presents Stock Car Racing's Entertainers of the Year.
Could that title be longer?
Exactly. And this includes all the big names of that era.
All right.
And this is a song called Hard Charger.
Here we go.
When everything's right underneath my hood and I'm rolling, that's when I'm most alive, that's when I'm racing. Let me see the track, don't let no smoke in my way. That's what it takes to make a race driver's day.
You're gonna hear
you go. Dale Earnhardt, Hard Charger. All right. Okay, where are we going next?
397. This is a wrestler. You may know him. I didn't know this guy, but he was huge in Canada. He wrestled throughout the United States and, in fact, made an appearance on WWE in like 2010, 2011, just being a legend, appeared in the ring. His name is Sweet Daddy Siki. Do you know him?
I do not.
Sweet Daddy Siki put out a couple records, one in 1970 and then one in 1972. The one in 72 goes, Sweet Daddy Siki squares off with country music.
All right.
And so we're going to hear his version of the classic Jambalaya.
Here we go.
Goodbye, Joe. Me got to go, me on my own. Me got to go before the beer rolled down the bayou. My Yvonne, the sweetest one, me on my own. Son of a gun, we'll have big barn on the bayou. Jambalaya across is my Philly gumbo. For tonight I'm gonna see Mama Shadow Mio. Make it tough, dip through jars and be gay, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big barn on the bayou.
Yeah, back in the day in Canada, he would have huge matches in Toronto and Montreal, sell out the place against guys like Buddy Rogers and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so he was a big star. You know, very boastful. He was that kind of a pretty
sure,
face.
Sure. Know? Well, he had great look to him because from that album cover.
Right.
Yeah. Very very good look. All right, doing Hank Williams proud. Okay, what's next?
Let's do another wrestler at 294. This is. Probably one of the biggest names in wrestling, the Hulkster, Hulk Hogan, and he teamed up with the novelty metal band Green Jelly, and he put out this song. It's you may recognize it. It's a Gary Glitter song, Leader of the Pack.
All right, here we go.
Do you want to be in my gang, my gang, my gang? Want to be in my gang?
Oh, yeah!
Do you want to be in my gang, my gang?
A whole album of Hulkster doing covers.
Doing all kinds of songs.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's a great album from the 1990s. Check it out if you can.
Yeah. He's on the back cover with his ex-wife.
It's a lot of... You know what? I was watching the Game Show Network.
Uh-huh.
And his ex-wife was a contestant on Match Game.
What?
Check it out. Look it up.
Wow.
She was a... I recognized her.
Wow.
So I looked it up, and yes, indeed, she was a contestant.
What year?
Probably about 77-ish.
Wow.
76-ish.
Okay. So yeah. prime popularity of Match
Game. Oh, yeah. I mean, the classic
Dawson,
lineup.
Brett Summers.
Oh, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So that was his wife, Linda Claridge?
Linda's his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, what's next?
Okay, let's go to track 53. We played a song by this guy earlier. He's a tennis star, John McEnroe. He became part of a band for a record that was released in Germany called, the name of the band was called Highly Strung. He played guitar. The song was written and sang by John Elefante. You may know him as the second singer for Kansas, who had sang the hits like Play the Game and different things like that. But here's a song called Don't Let It End from 1986.
All right, McEnroe.
We'll be right back.
screaming and yelling at me. It's driving me insane. Please don't let it end. I gotta hear that crowd again and again.
That sounds so 80s.
So 80s.
Oh, man, does that sound like the 80s. That is like the epitome of the mid to late 80s in terms of production and sound and stuff like that. John McEnroe. All right. What else we got?
Let's go to 390. Some people are saying, what kind of minor sports do you have in your collection? Well, I have professional bull riding. And we're going to hear from Justin McBride. He was a champion bull rider in the 2000s. And in 2007, he put out a CD called Don't Let Go. So let's hear the title track, Don't Let Go.
All right.
Back in 05, $1 million all on one ride. JW tied me in, said make sure you get him right. This is what you've been waiting for all these years. Just before I nodded, he hollered in my ear.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. It's just contemporary country stuff.
Yeah, not too bad. All right, Rick, hang on.
All right.
We got to take a break, and more sports songs. We'll wrap that up coming up after we break here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich coming up with the opening bell. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Rick Geezer is with us live in studio, and we are doing odds and ends sports and sports songs. And what was that we did?
That was Johnny Be Good by Kenny Brack, the 1999 Indianapolis 500 winner.
Uh-huh.
He put out a CD that's from a live concert he did. That came out in 2005. And then in 2007, he put out a CD called Greatest Hits Volume 1.
Okay.
I didn't know he had hit one.
Yeah, okay.
So,
but, there you go.
There you have it.
All right.
Kenny Brack.
All right. What do we got next?
Why don't we go to, we'll go to track 56. And this is from a big time tennis star named Yannick Noah. You may remember him because his son played for the Chicago Bulls. Yannick Noah put out a number of CDs. In Europe, and on this CD, it's called Black and What, and we're going to hear a song called Don't Stay Far Away, Baby.
Okay, Yannick Noah, Don't Stay Far Away, Baby.
I've been caught off guard, gone by desire, these urges needed for a delight. Now my life is filled with this loneliness. Baby, give me your love. I do miss you, girl. And keep me in your dreams. Oh, in your dreams. You make me feel so much.
So much.
Baby,
oh baby,
I want your touch. Don't stay far away, baby.
I do miss you, girl.
He He's got a Milli Vanilli look going there on the album cover.
He does, and he's put out a number of... this one, I think, was trying to go for the international audience. Most of the other ones he does, they're all in French.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, let's continue.
Let's hear from American soccer star Alexei Lalas. In the 1990s, he put out, 1998, he put out a CD called Ginger. Wonder why it was called Ginger. And he put out a song called, on that CD, was called Pretty Mess. That's track 304. And you still see him. He's doing soccer coverage on various TV networks. And he was a big star, on the U.S. World Cup team and on various teams throughout the United States. And he's still very much involved in the game. And so check out this song. It definitely sounds like it's from the 1990s.
Okay. And you said 304?
I said 304.
All right. Here we go.
Well, once upon a time you had to move along. You went looking for a scene that could turn you on. Yeah, you made a break, you slammed the door, and you never looked back again. Well, hey, 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 just another cliche. Too much too fast, then it slips away. Well, you fake the plot and read the line, but you never call back again. Ain't nobody wants to know you now. Yeah, nobody wants to know you now. Right next door and a world away. Screaming for a lifeline, dying for a chance you had yesterday. What a waste for a little taste, but away we go.
With a next door smile. Very 90s.
Very. I think that was supposed to be... another album.
Yeah, I guess. Wow. Fantastic beard on that guy.
Oh, yeah.
It's better than his soccer commentary, I'll say that much.
Oh, all right. I don't know.
He's terrible. He's awful.
Okay. All right. Let's continue.
Okay. Let's go to track 35. Legendary boxer, the original Sugar Ray Robinson, in 1962. He put out an album and a full-length album called I'm Still Swinging. So why don't we take a listen to the title track, I'm Still Swinging.
All right.
I'm still swinging, not complaining. Though it seems I cling to a talent that's gone by. Even though I lost my crown, you won't find the blues around. Cause I've really had my share of the glory there those years. Now I'm older, but no less bolder. For I know that the age of a man is how he feels. I have heard this world applaud by believing in the Lord. I can take it with a smile, punching all the while, my friend. Though it's raining, I'm still training. Cause the road and the weather's tough, I'll not give up.
I think this is fabulous.
It's a great album, a lot of great songs on it.
I think that's fabulous, man. That's great. That's great. Okay,
and he played nightclubs throughout the country.
Okay, one more quick one.
Okay, why don't we go to track 79. This is Roger Milla, not Roger Miller, Roger Milla, the Cameroon soccer star. He's listed as one of the top soccer players in the last 100 years in the world, and he put out this song in Africa called Dance with the Lion.
All right, here it is. That's pretty cool. All right. All right, Rick. Thanks, man.
Thank you very much for having
me. We'll have you back for the Christmas show,
excellent,
obviously.
And we'll play Honky the Christmas Goose.
Exactly. All right. Thanks, Rick. The news is coming up right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It is a Wednesday, a wildcard Wednesday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. We are going to have a round of Know Your Onion coming up a little bit later on, and we're also going to talk about Tom got the Disney Plus. And so we're going to talk about that and some of the stuff to immediately watch on Disney Plus and much more here. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk or text. Follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Stay connected on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. The music you just heard is from one of my favorite movies, which is being screened tonight, today and tonight at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. at the beautiful Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge. And that is the classic film from 1983, The Right Stuff. Any chance that you get to see this movie on the big screen, you should take that chance. Absolutely. I remember when the movie came out, it did not do well at the box office, and I was stunned by that. I saw it at the Esquire Theater, which was at that point just one big giant theater, and I love this movie. And I'm very, very happy to have Matthew Hoffman on. Matthew has been a part of the classic film series for the library in Park Ridge, and the Pickwick Theater hosts monthly screenings that Matthew puts together. Matthew, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Nick.
Yeah,
I'm excited to be here on your show to talk about this film.
This is
a great film.
It is such a great movie, and awesome. And to see on the big screen, you know, the difference between watching this thing at home and watching it on the big screen is huge. I remember a few years back they screened it in Grant Park, and
mm-hmm.
I went with a few friends, and we got a blanket, we sat outside, we watched The Right Stuff on the big screen in Grant Park, and it was amazing. It's just such a great film. So
I never had that opportunity to see it in the theater. You know, back when this film came out, 1983, I was like 8 years old, and, you know, the big movie I wanted to see was Return of the Jedi.
Of course it was.
I never had that opportunity. But just a few moments ago, you were playing the musical score, Bill Conti,
yes.
Of course, who
yes.
won an Oscar for the score.
Yeah.
I think it was one of four Oscars that the film won, but it's really a spectacular, you know, achievement. Of course, it's based on the Tom Wolfe bestseller, which I'm reading now. Absolutely a fantastic book. And for those who don't know, you know, The Right Stuff is a story about the test pilots and the astronauts who were recruited for Project Mercury, which was the man's first exploration into space. And what a lineup of stars. I mean, I think it's one of the best ensemble casts of the 1980s. I mean, you got Ed Harris, Dennis Quaid, Scott Glenn, Sam Shepard, Fred Ward, Lance Henriksen.
Yeah.
Barbara Hershey, Veronica Cartwright, and so on. But what a terrific cast. And, of course, the film sort of like parallels the Chuck Yeager storyline, one of the greatest test pilots in American history, who is still alive with us. I believe he's like 96 years old, and juxtaposed with the Mercury pilots. You know,
yeah.
So it's an epic story.
Yeah, it is an epic. It's over 3 hours, and there's not a wasted frame in it. You know, I mean, Sam Shepard is just so badass in it. he's so great in it.
It has a Gary Cooper quality that he brings to the film.
Yeah, And the cast is just, you know, it's beyond great. I just saw Lance Henriksen at the Flashback convention a couple of months ago, and
I saw that. Yeah,
and
terrific.
Yeah, and he's a, you know, just a great guy, and we've talked about the right stuff in the past and about it. And I mean, there are so many amazing sequences in the movie. By the way, there's a 1 o'clock matinee for people who, you know, because this is a long film, so some people might be, you know, but might not on a Wednesday night. You know, stay at the theater till like 10:30. So you're doing a 1 o'clock afternoon screening and then a 7 o'clock.
Correct.
And that's at the beautiful Pickwick at the beautiful Pickwick Theater.
Exactly, and we've got some other things going on that night as well. But just to backtrack a little bit, you know, 2019 was the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11, so I wanted to do some kind of space themed film beyond just 2001, The Space Odyssey, which, you know, we opened up with.
Yeah.
But I wanted to have something to do, you know, more specifically with the space program. And I don't know, I just thought it would play better than Way, Way Out with Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, although Way, Way Out is a great movie.
But anyway, you know, the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11, but also I guess in 2020, National Geographic is going to be releasing a television series based on the right stuff. So sort of perfect timing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we do have another connection to Apollo 11, of course. The Mercury astronauts were the predecessors, but we're going to have a special contribution. At 6 o'clock, we're going to have the First Division Museum at Cantini in Wheaton. Of course, Cantini is the War Museum, is part of the John McCormick Foundation. Of course, John McCormick created WGN Radio.
Right.
But we're going to have a gentleman connected to the First Division Museum. His name is John Maniatis in the lobby. And we're going to have an object. Actually, it's a uniform patch that was carried by astronaut Michael Collins on Apollo 11. Of course, Michael Collins was in the Columbia Command Module, and it belonged to Michael's father, who served in World War One. He was a lieutenant colonel.
Wow.
And back at this time, astronauts, they had what's called like a personal preference kit, where they could bring like personal items on the ship.
Yeah.
And Michael Collins, his father had passed away in 1963, so Michael wanted to bring this First Division patch that his father had worn in World War One with him on Apollo 11. So this patch actually orbited the moon, but that in itself is pretty cool. But just the connection to the First Division, and since our show is, you know, our event is taking place a couple of days after Veterans Day, I thought it would be kind of apropos.
Yeah,
and to have that contribution from Cantini War Museum, I think adds a little something.
That's awesome.
And of course, we got Jay Warren back doing the pre-show music at 6:30. Due to scheduling conflicts, Jay couldn't be with us for our first couple shows of the season. Mm-hmm. He last performed for us when we showed American Graffiti back in June. But Jay Warren will be back at 6:30 doing all the pre-show music.
That's great.
That's another added attraction.
That's really great.
I'm really looking forward to this one.
Hey, by the way, how did 2001 go?
It went great, Nick.
Yeah.
We had over 600 people.
Oh, that's amazing.
Pierre Dulay is one of the most wonderful guests you could ever hope for. Great storyteller, very engaging. You know, he stayed to the very end, making sure everyone got their photos taken, and he's just a wonderful man.
I saw a lot of the posts and everything. It looked like you guys had a great time. And also, did anybody ask him about Black Christmas?
they could have during the meet and greet.
Okay.
I know they're remaking the film. I should have asked them about that.
They've already made. They already did. This is like this. This is the second remake of Black Christmas. Do we need another remake of Black Christmas?
I don't think so.
My God. Anyway.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So. You know. I remember. Are you guys doing an intermission for the right stuff?
Well, no intermission because I don't think there was an intermission. When the film was released.
No, there was.
There was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was. And because I remember, it's really funny because, like, when like I said, I saw this at downtown in at the big Esquire, the beautiful Esquire Theater.
Sure.
So it was a great experience. And they did have an intermission because I vividly remember because there's that scene where they're going through all the physical testing and they have to hold their urine. There's it.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
All right. I had to pee like a racehorse while I was watching the movie. And during that scene, I was like, oh my God. Like it was just adding to the pressure.
Sure.
And then the intermission was not very far after that scene. Cause I was very, sure. I remember getting up and running out and going to the bathroom and coming back in. But yeah, but I know now that, you know, they don't do intermissions anymore, for long films like they used to.
Well, some films have the intermission. You know, I recently played Godfather 2.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it depends, you know, the company that's sending us the film. But,
yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't look like this one has an intermission, so we're just going to play it through.
The last time I saw it, when we saw it in Grand Park, there was no intermission, obviously. So,
sure,
but yeah,
right.
But it's such, I mean, it is such a great movie. And I really, there are so many specific, you know, performances that just stand out for me. I love Fred Ward in the movie.
Yeah.
I just think he's so great. And that scene where John Glenn is orbiting intercut with the Australian outback stuff,
yeah,
is just amazing. Absolutely beautiful. Philip Kaufman, by the way, we should mention Philip Kaufman directed the movie and has directed many interesting and great movies. And he actually wrote the screenplay as well. And so this is a big achievement for Philip Kaufman.
Yeah, I think it's probably his best film.
Yeah.
And I know, yeah, he did the screenplay. I don't think he cared for the first draft of the screenplay that was submitted. I think it was Bill Goldman who did the first draft, because it eliminated the Chuck Yeager character. And when Phil Kaufman took over, he wanted to put Chuck Yeager back into the storyline. And that was such a huge contribution to the film, because to do it just with the Project Mercury astronauts, I mean, it wouldn't have been the same film.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, no, Phil Kaufman did an absolute wonderful job. And also just the cinematography by Caleb Deschanel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely breathtaking. And to see that on that big screen. And that's why I kind of wanted definitely to show the right stuff. And, you know, every time I'm on your show, Nick, I always talk about, well, you got to see this film on a big screen and stuff, but especially a film like The Right Stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to see it on one of the biggest screens in the Chicago area, I mean, it's going to be a wonderful experience.
Yeah, no, I mean, people should not pass this up, seriously. So there's a screening today at 1 o'clock and then tonight at 7 o'clock. And this is all at the Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge, beautiful Park Ridge. And it's happening as part of the classic film series that you do. So what are the other ones that are coming up? What do you got coming up?
Well, on December 18, I'm going to be showing the holiday classic Holiday Inn.
Oh, sure.
With Fred Astaire, Bing Crosby. January 15, I'm going to be showing Goodfellas, 30th anniversary.
Oh, yeah. 30th anniversary? Man, I feel old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man,
so
oh, man.
That's going to be a lot of fun. And those are the only ones that we're still working on the rest of the schedule. Perhaps for Valentine's Day, we might show Moonstruck.
Okay. Those are all great.
Just before Valentine's Day.
That's all great stuff. This all takes place at the Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge. So, again, there's a 1 o'clock matinee today of The Right Stuff and a 7 p.m. showing of The Right Stuff. And seriously, this is a movie that demands to be seen on the big screen, and this is one of the biggest screens in the city, in and around the Chicagoland area. You guys call it the Mega Theater, correct?
The Mega Theater, yeah. Since the renovation last year, one of the biggest screens in Chicago.
There you go. All right. So everybody come out and see The Right Stuff today at 1 or tonight at 7. It is truly a great, great film that is inspiring and fun and really beautiful to see and beautiful to watch. And you'll be happy to see it on the big screen. Matthew, always a pleasure, my friend. And keep up the good work, buddy.
Thank you, Nick. I just want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, you too. Same to you and your family, okay?
Okay, you take care.
Take care, Matthew. There you go. Matthew Hoffman, everybody, Park Ridge Classic Film, putting this together. And it's, again, 1 o'clock in the afternoon today, 7 o'clock tonight, on the Mega Theater big screen. You have to see this, The Right Stuff, a great film. that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible, and that's how you can do it today at 1 or tonight at 7 at the Pickwick Theater. Okay, let's take a quick break here on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. Coming up after the 4:30 news, you guys get ready, because we'll take two contestants for Know Your Onion. And that's when Tom quizzes you, reads off some news headlines, and you have to say, you have to guess whether they are real or they are from The Onion, the satirical newspaper. News is very weird in real life nowadays, so sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. So, that's coming up after the 4:30 news. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to jump in for talk or text Wildcard Wednesday requests. Did we have a Wildcard Wednesday request for that?
We did. That's coming to us from Dave in Monroe, who's excited for the new Star Wars movie in December.
Okay. Well, it was a bump that actually fits in with what we're about to talk about.
I know, very apropos.
If anybody got the Disney Plus, if you guys subscribed to Disney Plus because it launched yesterday, I want to hear from you. What do you think? What have you been doing with it? Talk or text with us right now at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. So Tom, you subscribed.
Yeah, because I already had a Hulu and an ESPN Plus account, and they offer a big kind of bundle deal where you can get all three of them for like $12.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured it was a good enough deal. I already have the other two services. Might as well tack on a little extra Disney content.
Yeah.
And so far, after a little bit of a rocky start.
Well, that's the thing. I haven't subscribed. Mm-hmm. I may, in fact, subscribe. I'm not sure yet. But when it launched, I guess there were some glitches and some people were having trouble. Yeah. And it was all over the internet. People were going, you know, everybody's making a big deal out of it. And look, they're, you know, all the hype and everything that's been happening leading up to the launch of Disney Plus has been, you know, everywhere. So what exactly happened?
So, I mean, it was just kind of a traffic error, essentially. When you have a massive service launching and literally millions of people are potentially signing up for new accounts and trying to access the service all at the exact same time because you've got a lot of excited people. I don't know any server in the world that can handle that kind of traffic without a little bit of slowdown or potential problems. That's just the nature of the beast.
Right.
It means nothing about the service itself. It just meant, hey, we ran into some technical issues. It's the first day.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Working within hours.
You got people, you had people going nuts though, like because of it. I mean, it sounded like a disaster the way the intranets was blowing up over it, and social media was blowing up over it. You would think that it was, you know, it was the worst service of all time, and it was just an absolute disaster. But that's just not the case.
It wasn't. It was fine. It was typical traffic problems. It can happen with literally any service.
It has happened so many times where like certain things just break the internet.
Yeah,
you know, because there's so much demand for that one. You know, for the one thing.
It's like, think of it like Black Friday. Not everybody can get in the door at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, you've only got a limited amount of space to get people in. And if things go wrong, it's just going to slow down and people can't get in.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to get your thoughts on it and what you've been watching. We have some stories that are related to Disney Plus. If you subscribed to Disney Plus and you got it, what do you think so far? And how did it go for you? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We got a break here for the news. I love this song. I have not heard it in a while. When this song came out, I went nuts. I bought the album. The rest of the album, not so good. Is it Dream Academy?
Dream Academy, yeah.
Yeah. That's a great song, man. Who requested that?
That's coming to us from Steve.
Steve, got good taste, man. That is a great song. That's a true one-hit wonder, though. That definitely falls into the category of one-hit wonder. So, but a great hit, nonetheless. All right, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about Disney Plus. Tom, my producer, has subscribed, and we're going to talk about his adventures with it. And we want to hear from you. If you subscribe to Disney Plus, what do you think? 312-981-7200. And what have you watched? So there you go. And also coming up after the 4:30 news, remember, Know Your Onion. We'll take the first two phone calls. We'll be the two contestants that will play a round each of Know Your Onion. So there you go. All right. So Tom, besides that little glitch, which wasn't as big a deal as everybody made it out to be, what do you think so far of Disney Plus?
I think it's a pretty interesting service. One of the interesting things is that it's set up almost exactly like Netflix. Like the user interface looks almost identical to Netflix in a lot of ways. It's just entirely Disney owned content. So you've got your typical Disney stuff, Marvel, Star Wars, Pixar, and National Geographic.
Right.
And they're really pushing that. They don't have there's some of the original stuff has not fully launched yet. Like you can see the placeholders for Jeff Goldblum's National Geographic show that's coming up. You can see high school. This is one that I think is ridiculous. High School Musical, the TV series.
Uh huh.
I don't know, but it's not everything is fully up there yet. But the original content is coming. Like The Mandalorian, the first episode is there. Lady and the Tramp, their remake.
Yeah, it's a live action
remake. Yeah, live action remake, if you want to call it that, is there. And then a massive amount of the Disney library. But there are some notable omissions, especially if you are a Star Wars fan or a Marvel fan. In previous years, Disney had a relationship with Netflix where Netflix was getting exclusive access to newer Marvel and Star Wars movies. After that relationship started coming to an end, they still had to fulfill their contract. So you don't have all the Star Wars movies. You're actually missing The Last Jedi because Netflix still has the rights to that as of right now. And there's a few other Marvel movies that Netflix still has, like Avengers Infinity War. But if you want to watch like Endgame or Captain Marvel or some of the other recent stuff and some stuff dating back to like the first Iron Man, you can get that on Disney Plus.
Okay.
And then just a ridiculous backlog of content as well.
Yeah. I would immediately watch WALL-E.
Yeah.
Even though I have it at home. I could pop the DVD in anytime. All right, well, so we got a couple of texts here from people who have the Disney Plus service. 708 area code says Mandalorian is better than any of the Star Wars story movies and I had no traffic issues.
Yeah, that's how minimal those traffic issues were. It was literally for maybe a couple hours.
312 area code says I'm disappointed that it doesn't carry the Muppet Show from the 70s. Is that a Disney?
Well, Disney does own the Muppets intellectual property, but I don't know how deep
that
goes.
What do they not own?
I don't know. They literally just bought Fox. They bought 20th Century Fox, so they own all that stuff, which you're going to see appearing on the service. They have, because of that purchase, they have a controlling stake in Hulu, so Hulu is essentially their company. They have ESPN Plus because ESPN is their company.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, oh man. It's amazing. So anyway, this person is disappointed that the Muppet Show from the 70s isn't available. It's great if you have kids and need to entertain them. You can't beat having Disney's entire collection. I think it's evenly priced at $6.99.
That is a super competitive price. It's unbelievable. And you can get that Hulu, ESPN Plus, Disney bundle for a little over $12 a month.
That's really good.
It's literally thousands of hours of content.
Yeah, that's really good. All right, so you watched the Mandalorian?
Yeah, I did watch The Mandalorian. They just had the premiere episode up, and I'm sure we'll get into this with Dan as well tomorrow, Dan Feinberg.
Yeah.
Because he did watch it. Honestly, I mentioned to you earlier off the air, you really like Rogue One.
I love it.
Then you're going to love The Mandalorian.
Wow, okay.
Because it requires almost no prior knowledge of Star Wars.
Well, that's
just
good.
Just a working knowledge of there's Rebels, there's the Empire, that exists, but you can pretty much go into this blind and start exploring the world. It's written by Jon Favreau, directed by this guy, Dave Filoni, who's been heading up Star Wars kind of animated stuff for Disney.
I didn't know Favreau wrote it.
Yeah, written by Favreau. It's got Nick Nolte's in it. Taika Waititi provides a voice. Werner Herzog is in it.
Yeah, that you told me that off the air, and I was like, what?
Yeah, and he's just being Werner Herzog, and I think it's pretty good. And I was not a huge fan of Rogue One. I didn't think it was that good. I think Disney has had a little bit of trouble trying to take a series that is so seen as like a serialized thing. Like they had made one. Realistically, only the original Star Wars was made with the intention of wrapping it all up. And if they never made another one, that movie just works on its own.
Right, right.
But George Lucas knew he was going to make other ones. It's always been based on the old serials, the Flash Gordons of the 50s. It was always going to be a long-running thing. So I thought that they kind of had trouble adapting Star Wars to being a standalone movie. I don't think it really works that way. So to take the Star Wars story idea and make it into a TV series with The Mandalorian, I think that's pretty much the way it should have always been.
Yeah. Well, I know it was a big draw for Disney Plus.
It's pretty much the only reason I signed up for it.
Yeah,
just to watch it.
This because Star Wars fans are, you know, they're nuts, and but it's I you know, from what I've read online, people are agreeing with you. It's generally getting really nice reviews.
Yeah, it's a really cool show. It's a little bit more like Rogue One, where it's a little bit of a darker take.
Yeah,
a little bit more gritty. But the original Star Wars was a little bit gritty, a little bit dirt around the edges.
Yeah,
and this is just taking it more in that direction.
Yeah, that's how I felt about Last Jedi. I thought it was a darker, you know, it was darker. And, you know, and it's one of those deals where, like, when Last Jedi was coming out, everybody was like, okay, this is going to be the Empire of this trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Empire is dark, and it ends as a, you know, like, it ends dark with a cliffhanger. And that's what everybody thought Last Jedi was going to be. And I'm surprised at the people's reaction to Last Jedi, because I thought it was really good. And I'm not even a big Star Wars guy, and I really liked it.
Yeah, I think people were upset with the way that Luke was handled. I think that people were a little bit upset with the movie's B plot, because you've got the A plot of Rey doing her whole training thing with Luke, which is really what you want to be focusing on. That's like the more traditional Star Wars stuff.
Right.
And then you've got this whole other side thing with Finn and Rose and Poe Dameron going off and doing their own little adventure that kind of amounts to almost nothing, which is more or less the point of that. I think it's thematically sound. Is it as entertaining as the Luke stuff? Probably not.
Yeah,
I'd admit that. But some people really took exception to how Rian Johnson was just like, yeah, all this stuff that you thought mattered doesn't really matter. To me, he stripped down Star Wars to its essential parts.
Yeah,
and questioned the last 40 years of storytelling and said, hey, we can do something different. This doesn't need to be the end-all be-all of this franchise. And for longtime fans, didn't exactly rub them the right way.
Yeah, well, I know that. But it's weird because two of the biggest Star Wars fans on the planet that I know are Colin and Eric. And they loved Last Jedi. And these guys are like hardcore Star Wars fans. I mean, like hard, especially Eric. Eric likes the prequels. Eric backs the prequels. That's how much of a Star Wars fan he is. I was surprised, you know, that, you know, I just assumed, because the backlash didn't happen right away. We reviewed the movie the weekend it opened, and Eric and Colin came in and brought all their Star Wars toys and all that stuff, and so, you know, we all gave it good reviews, you know, and then once the backlash started, I was like, what? I don't understand.
Well, that's the weird thing is that if you go on Rotten Tomatoes, the critic score is still remarkably high. I believe it's in the low 90s.
Yeah.
But the audience score is totally tanked because there were some folks out there that really didn't like a lot of what was going on.
Yeah.
They felt that there was some sort of like political subtext, which I'm like, it's Star Wars. There's always been a political subtext.
Of course there is.
It's samurais fighting spades Nazis.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know what the problem was. Some people really just had big issues with it, and for some reason are like, yeah, the prequels were better. I challenge you to go back and watch a little bit of the prequels and tell me those are better. Listen,
I'll tell you what, the only of the prequels that I like Sith. I think the first 20 minutes is pretty unwatchable, but then it just really, it's great. And I don't care. I like Darth Vader going, no, I thought that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really cool to see the creation of one of the greatest villains in movie history.
Yeah.
And how that happened. I thought Sith was pretty good. And I didn't
generally hate it. Speaking, that's the general consensus, is that out of three movies that probably should have been a lot better than they were, that one is the most watchable.
Absolutely.
So you can honestly just not watch the other two and just watch
the other
that
two
one
are terrible. The other two are especially Attack of the Clones. Yeah. Attack of the Clones is awful,
especially all the sand stuff.
It's so bad.
It's just so dumb.
So, but anyway, so The Mandalorian, you're giving it a thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up. Very promising series.
Okay, and it's only one episode is available now. When does it start streaming more?
I believe, I don't know if they're going to go week by week. They might do that. That's the one thing I was unsure about. I thought it started all episodes today.
Yeah,
apparently not.
Okay.
So they might go week by week. So,
all right. Well, we'll find
out
about that. And by the way, if you have the Disney Plus, what do you guys think of it? How did the launch go? What have you been watching? And if you watched The Mandalorian, we'd like to hear from you as well. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200.
The futuristic shock you ever saw.
Oh, Jabberjaw. Who requested the theme from Jabberjaw?
It's coming to us from Dino.
All right, Dino. We always get at least one weird TV theme song on Wild Card Wednesday because it's any artist, any song, anything. Yeah, man. 312-981-7200. All right. All righty then. So, hey, coming up, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Right here on WGN. We're talking about Disney Plus. Disney Plus launched yesterday. There was a little controversy. People made a bigger deal out of it than was necessary. They had a little glitch because of all the traffic, because everybody wanted to launch at the same time. The content that's available, we'll talk a little bit about that. And, of course, The Mandalorian, which is the big draw, the Star Wars thing. What's the timeline on Mandalorian? Where does it take place?
So it takes place fairly shortly after the Return of the Jedi. So it's after the Empire goes down.
Okay.
Empire goes down, Darth Vader's
so it takes place past that. It's the only thing now that takes place past Jedi.
It depends on how deep you want to go, because there's some shows that were on Disney, like Star Wars Rebels,
that takes place
between 6 and 7. So Mandalorian takes place between the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy.
Oh no, because the trilogy, the J.J. Abrams trilogy, that takes place after Jedi.
Yeah, that's 30 years after.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so this is like right after Jedi.
This is roughly, I would say, maybe like 3 years.
Are there
something like that?
Are there crossover characters, like is R2-D2 or C-3PO or any of the classic characters in it?
It remains to be seen, but my guess would be no.
Okay.
I doubt we'll see that. But we do have Carl Weathers, so that's pretty cool.
All right. 815 area code says The Mandalorian will release an episode every Friday, starting with episode 2 this Friday.
Yeah.
Okay, so it starts on Friday.
Yeah, they're going to go weekly.
And they'll go weekly. Okay. 815 Erico says, a tip you can share with your listeners is that if you carry a certain mobile provider that rhymes with Horizon and have the unlimited package, you get 12 months free of Disney Plus. Well, okay. I will now definitely be getting Disney Plus.
Yeah, and you don't even have to sign up for like a new contract or something. If you're already a customer, I'm pretty sure you get it.
Okay. That's cool. All right.
Yeah, but watch out for yourself in a year. Make sure you don't forget.
No. I know. So, all right. Well, let's take a look at some of the stuff but now some of the stories that are coming out of the launch of Disney Plus. Now, here's the one you were telling me about this off the air. AV Club writes about this. Boy, we hope somebody got fired for that blunder. Disney Plus is cropping out Simpsons jokes. And so they've got all the Simpsons episodes.
30 seasons. 30 seasons of The Simpsons, which is a weird sentence to say.
I'd go right to Homer's enemy. I'd go right to Frank Grimes. That'd be the first one. I watch. That's my favorite Simpsons episode of all time. I just couldn't believe when I first saw it. I just was like, did they seriously just kill a character off on The Simpsons and then everybody laughs at his funeral as his coffin is being lowered into the ground? That's a Homer, and they all start laughing.
Truly bizarre.
I remember sitting on the couch. I was like, what? What did I just see? I love it. I love that. And I think Hank Azaria's voice work as Frank Grimes is what is some of it. When he has the meltdown and everything.
Yeah.
Now he eats more like a duck. So today's Disney Plus launch has not been without its hiccups. And there are certainly newly minted subscribers out there who feel like it has been, without a doubt, the worst streaming service debut ever. Rest assured that they're on the internet in within minutes registering their disgust throughout the world. People just love to do that and use the internet for that.
Yeah. The internet is just populated with comic book guys.
No question about it. To which the AV Club humbly submits, we know it isn't great, but what right do you have to complain? The internet responds in kind. As a loyal subscriber for 12 hours, we feel Disney owes us. And we could continue this whole paraphrased pantomime referencing thousands of hours of entertainment with an encore of the whole worst streaming service launch ever thing. But we can also see where this is going, even if one character in the scene has been cropped off of at the shoulders. Another new home for The Simpsons, the same old remastering of the show's earliest and best seasons that's formatted to fit modern TV screens at the expense of the shot compositions of those seasons and occasionally the jokes that are told within those compositions. As noted above, this is nothing new. When reruns of The Simpsons first came to FXX in 2014, the same sight gag obscuring, face-stretching widescreen aspect ratio was applied. When the cable channel introduced the online Simpsons World platform, subscribers were given the option to watch the likes of Marge versus the Monorail or Mr. Plow in 16:9, Oh, That's Bad, or 4:3, That's Good. The Mickey Mouse Club, Boy Meets World, and other HDTV offerings on Disney Plus are presented in their original aspect ratio, so it's not like the service is totally adverse to moving images being backed by bars. And perhaps the Simpsons World toggle will be added somewhere down in the line. The AV Club has reached out to Disney about the possibility, and they'll update you with a further response. So they're cropping up. They did the same thing on FXX.
Yeah, initially that was the problem that they had, and it was silly.
Yeah.
Just show it in its original format.
Absolutely.
You know, and if people don't like it, then they need to recognize that this show came out in the 1990s.
Yeah.
You know, late 80s, 90s. That's just how things were.
Yeah. And the aspect ratio, just put the bars on the side. What's the big deal?
Yeah. Works for Seinfeld.
They do it on the Game Show Network. For the old game shows, like for Match Game, there's a little... And they make them very colorful, fun little bars on the side. All right, well, let's take a break. We got the news coming up here. And we're talking Disney Plus, and we're going to talk about some of the other stuff that's offered and some of the movies that you should watch immediately that you have access to on Disney Plus. And again, if you've got the service, we want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All right, the news is up next. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? It is Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. As any artist, any song, anything. Who requested that?
That's coming to us from Paul.
All right, there you go. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Coming up at 4:30, we have another edition of Know Your Onion. So during the 4:30 news, you got to call in, and the first two callers will be our contestants for another round of Know Your Onion. That's where Tom will read a news headline, and you have to guess whether it is real or from The Onion. Okay, we are talking about Disney Plus. Tom has a subscription and has watched the the
Mandalorian.
And enjoys it. And again, we were talking about the little glitch that people had trying to during the launch. But we want to know what you guys think. If you have Disney Plus, we would like to hear from you at 312-981-7200. Ike from Country Club Hill says, I don't want anything to do with Disney since their reputation recently after screwing up Star Wars and Marvel. I don't think they screwed up Star Wars.
Or Marvel. Really?
No.
Hate to disagree with you, Ike, but...
815 area code says, not surprised that Song of the South is nowhere to be found on Disney. Did you really think it was going to be? Did you think Song of the South was going to be impossible to find?
I think they've tried to burn every copy of that they can find.
Man. 309 area code says, hey, Nick, just an FYI for your listeners. I have a Vizio TV. I tried to add Disney Plus last night, and it does not work on some Vizio TVs. Vizio saying that they will have it fixed in 2020. Okay. All right. So some of the other things that we want to talk about, we've got a whole bunch of movies that are available on Disney Plus that you should watch. And the content, there's a ton of content that's already available, and more will be launched in the original content. Is Noelle available, the Anna Kendrick Christmas movie?
I did not try to watch it yet.
Okay.
But I will report back to you.
Because the lovely and charming Anna Kendrick was on The Daily Show the other night promoting it, and they showed a clip from it, and it looked really good.
Yeah.
Like, Billy Eichner's in it. Bill Hader plays, like, the next in line to be Santa. So it looks pretty good. And I know that they're doing original, you know, content and all that stuff. So there's going to be lots of reasons for people to want to subscribe to Disney Plus. But here's another thing now. Today's launch of Disney Plus, we talked about the cropping of The Simpsons, which is not, Disney Plus is not the only place that's done that. The launch of Disney Plus hasn't been entirely smooth for everyone, but some of us are just happy to have access to the Apple Dumpling Gang. Nice choice. That's one from my youth right there. The Apple Dumpling Gang. Bill Bixby, Don Knotts. Oh, man. You know, there was a period of time in the 70s when I was a kid, Tom, when the animation studios at Disney were on hold. Like, they weren't making movies like they were. And that sort of made a comeback with Oliver and Company, which was kind of the first reasonably successful attempt for Disney to get back into animation. Mm-hmm. And then by the time Beauty and the Beast came out, it was, you know, obviously that was the new era of Disney animation.
The Renaissance had begun in earnest.
Exactly. But there was that period of time in the 70s when when the only stuff that Disney was making was really, really crappy live-action comedies. And they were terrible. It was like No Deposit, No Return. There was the North Avenue Irregulars. There was Gus. Gus was about a field goal kicking mule.
When was Operation Dumbo drop?
Oh, well, that was in the 90s.
Okay, that was the 90s. Yeah, because so, I remember watching.
Because I like that movie.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I thought Danny Glover, and obviously, I love Dennis Leary, and so I, you know.
But it is an absurd premise.
It is an absurd premise and a really dumb title that makes you think that it's a stupid movie, but in fact, it's not. It's a pretty entertaining film. But no, this was like, they were very specific. Like, they had a lot of the same cast members.
Gus.
Were in it. Yeah, Gus, the goal, field goal kicking donkey. This is the entertainment that we were getting. And they all played in the 70s when I was growing up. They all played at the Will Rogers Theater, which was at Belmont near Central. Or Central near Belmont. And that was the theater that you went to see Disney movies. There's so many crappy. You could just look up, like, if you Google live action Disney comedies of the 70s, there were so many of them. They all sucked. They were all terrible.
There's a guy I know who writes for Vice Music, Josh Terry, who did a list with all the stuff that was announced that was going to be on Disney Plus, because a lot of these movies are on Disney Plus.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
And he said, is this an indie band or a Disney live action movie?
Well, it was a terrible period for Disney. That was a dark time for comedy and Disney. There was no animation being done. They hired Joe Flynn a lot for their movies, and people like Dean Jones were getting work.
So you got like King of the Grizzlies.
Uh-huh.
Was Bedknobs and Broomsticks was relatively well loved, though.
Yeah, it was. I mean, but those are exceptions to the rule because most of them were awful.
The Biscuit Eater.
Yeah.
Napoleon and Samantha. Run Cougar Run. Super Dad.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God! The World's Greatest Athlete. The cast.
World's Greatest Athlete. You know who was in World's Greatest Athlete?
Who was in that?
It was Kurt Russell.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he started with Disney.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, he made a lot of Disney movies when he was young. Like The Computer That Wore Tennis Shoes. That was that was Kurt Russell.
The Boy Who Talked to Badgers.
See, those are early 70s. I'm talking mid to late 70s.
Yeah, so then we're getting into Gus. I mean, Freaky Friday is an exception.
Yeah, Freaky Friday was good, and I like the remake. I actually love the remake with Jamie Lee Curtis and the Lohan.
Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo.
Well, there was all the Herbie movies.
Pete's Dragon ended up getting a really great remake, though.
Oh, my God, yes.
That remake was incredible.
Yeah.
A Tale of Two Critters. Candle Shoe.
With
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster, yeah. Yeah. But the ones that I'm specifically talking about was like stuff like No Deposit, No Return.
Hot Lead and Cold Feet.
Hot Lead, Cold Feet. That was Don Knotts.
Good Lord.
Yeah, there were so many of them.
The Cat from Outer Space.
Yeah, they had a lot of cat movies because That Darn Cat.
Yeah, That Darn Cat.
With Dean Jones, that was a real big hit.
Yeah, I can see No Deposit, No Return here.
Oh, man. What year was that?
1976, David Niven.
Yeah.
Darren McGavin, Don Knotts.
Oh, God.
Herschel Bernardi.
Yeah. Anybody who's around my age completely remembers those terrible live-action Disney movies. If you're in your 50s, you absolutely remember. God, they were awful. And we went to see them. Saw all of them.
Bless you guys.
Went to see them. I paid to see Gus in the theater. The field goal kicking mule.
You guys suffered so we could reap the benefits.
That's right. That's right. And then it was, you know, it was a big deal when it came out. And we've talked about it before on the air many times because Rod Pyle likes to mention it. Was the black hole. That was a big deal. That was a really big deal when it came out. Live action Disney. And And it turned out to be bad. And again, saw it at the Will Rogers. If you were from the northwest side of Chicago, that's where you saw all your Disney movies. So, all right, let's take a break for the weather, and then we'll come back and we'll jump back into this Disney Plus talk. And at 4:30, we will have another edition of Know Your Onion. I mooned the TV when that won Best Picture. Absolutely true. Who wanted the Chariots of Fire theme?
It's coming to us from Donald.
Okay, Donald.
It's a good theme, though.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you know.
It's not as good as his work on Blade Runner, but.
Here's the thing, man. Chariots of Fire won Best Picture. Instead of Reds. I can't even, and Raiders was nominated that year, too, in 1981. But Reds, Warren Beatty wins Best Director, okay, and deservedly so, because Reds is a masterpiece. And then that dumb movie about the British guys in their underwear running around in slow motion on a beach wins Best Picture. What are we talking about here? Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Disney Plus has launched. Tom has subscribed. And we're talking about some of the other things about it. They are cropping The Simpsons, so some of the jokes are visual jokes are actually missing. And someone wrote on AV Club, said that there is, however, a great disturbance in the Force quadrant of Disney Plus. where it appears that Lucasfilm has changed the infamous Han Greedo scene in A New Hope again. All right, for people who don't know, in the original Star Wars, Han shoots Greedo right under the table, shoots Greedo, kills him.
Yep.
And that's it.
He says, "I'll bet you have," and there's just smoke, you know, cut to.
Yeah.
And it's clear that he has shot Greedo before anything happens.
But then, when they made the changes in 1997, when they re-released him in 1997, and George Lucas went in and tinkered like he always likes to do, Greedo shot first. So it didn't look like Han Solo, you know, shot him cold-heartedly. Now they're changing it again. As pointed out by the Star Wars Visual Comparisons Twitter account, the showdown between Han, Solo, and Greedo is, well, it's different, to put it kindly. It's not the first time Lucasfilm has changed the Han-Greedo scene, of course. When director George Lucas released his specialized edition of the original trilogy, he edited the scene to make it clear that it was Greedo who fired the first shot. The change settled an ongoing and highly exhaustive debate, but also makes the scene kind of stupid because who has the time? Anyway, it appears that the scene has been altered again, this time to appease, well, it's unclear exactly who benefits from this change. In addition to being wildly, vastly more stupid, it's also impressive. There's an insert shot of Greedo, and then he says something that isn't subtitled, and the two characters shoot at each other, seemingly at the same time. There are sparks and smokes, and nobody can figure out what happened. Well, I don't understand. What happened? So they just changed it for Disney Plus?
I guess so. Apparently Lucas made these changes shortly after the 2011 Blu-ray release.
Uh-huh.
Which there were even more changes that he made. Certain things were changed. And some of the stuff that he's done over the years kind of makes sense. Like making Ian McDiarmid the face of the Emperor in
number five
before
sure.
he even appeared.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Or, you know, some people don't agree with it, but putting Hayden Christensen at the end of Return of the Jedi as opposed to Sebastian Shaw.
Right, right. And so, as the little spirit.
Yeah, as a little spirit. It's a younger version of himself.
Yeah.
I think there's worse things that you could
have done. Well, my favorite addition that he did was when it's in the first movie, the Star Wars, whatever the hell, New Hope, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, New Hope.
Okay. When they go into a room and they see some, there are like three or four stormtroopers and they turn around and run out. In that refurbished edition, they open up the door, there's like 900 Star Troopers, stormtroopers.
They add the bonk when
they do now. They add the bonk sound effect when the stormtrooper hits his head.
Yeah, it's very subtle, but well done.
Yeah. All right. Well, the changing it again. I just think it's stupid. I mean, I remember when I saw the 97 versions when they re-released them. You know, for in the theaters. I'm not a Star Wars fanatic, so I didn't even know the difference. I didn't even know
that it was all the same.
I didn't know that Greedo. I don't know. I don't remember that. I just, you know.
Yeah.
So then when there was all this, you know, there was all this hoopla about it, I was like, oh, so Han Solo just shot him in cold blood. Okay. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
So a lot of the changes that they made, I couldn't even remember. But then they had, because they did have a dude playing Jabba the Hutt, like an actor. And then they put Jabba the Hutt over him.
Yeah, that was one of the weirder things. They did a CGI Jabba the Hutt. They added just a bunch of weird CGI effects. Like that scene.
Yeah, a lot of weird characters and stuff were added, right?
Yeah. And you can't even get the theatrical editions anymore legally. There was at one point in late 2000s where they released them and it was the specialized edition released alongside a theatrical cut, but that theatrical cut was ripped from a laser disc. So the quality was just awful.
Oh,
and it was,
man,
like hardly worthy of watching.
Yeah.
Other than, okay, at least it's the original theatrical cut. So if you want those, you got to find them secondhand on Laserdisc or VHS.
That's pretty crazy. That's really crazy. All right. Disney Plus has been launched. Here's Tyrone on WGN. Go ahead, Tyrone.
Well, you know, Nicola, one of the movies that was mentioned, and I really liked it, was Castaway Cowboy. And I don't know if you had ever seen that one, but I always wanted to see a movie where you had James Garner and Robert Culp in it together, because I don't believe those two had ever done anything together before. And I always wanted to see a movie with those two in it, and Robert Culp plays the bad guy, and James Garner plays the good guy. And you know, the plot was not unlike any plot you haven't seen before. You know, Robert Culp is the bad guy who tries to run this widow and her son off their land on some early South Pacific island. And James Garner, of course, you know, he's a Shanghai cowboy that gets washed ashore, and she nurses him back to health. And then, you know, he becomes like the Shane character. He protects her and her son from the evil Robert Culp. So I did enjoy that movie.
I have absolutely no memory of that movie whatsoever. No.
And, you know, no. James Garner and Robert Culp were always two of my favorite tough guy actors, but they had never, ever done anything together
right.
before until this movie came along.
Right.
And so that's why I like it.
Okay. All right, Tyrone, thanks.
Okay, Nick.
Castaway Cowboy. Don't remember that.
I like James Garner.
Oh, James Garner rules.
Yeah, I'd watch him be a castaway cowboy.
And I love Robert Culp. Mm-hmm. Robert Culp was in Silent Night, Deadly Night 2.
Is that the one with the garbage day quote? Or is that the first one?
No, I think it's that one. That's the one where the guy's got like a glass head and his brain is exposed. But my favorite is, because Robert Culp, he clearly just did it for a check. But my favorite line, one of my favorite terrible lines in a terrible horror movie, because Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 is, I mean, they all suck. But that one is particularly bad because more than a third of the movie is scenes from the first one. Is scenes from Silent Night, Dead, like flashbacks and things. So they shot about 40 minutes of new footage. And Robert Culp, who I believe, if I remember correctly, plays a cop, because that's what Robert Culp always plays. But he was a cop, and he was investigating the Santa murders or whatever it was, the escaped lunatic wearing a hospital gown, and he's got a glass head with his brain sticking out. Now, I'm not making this up. This is real. The Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. So at one point, Robert Culp's in a car with somebody, and they're driving along, and he pulls the car over, stops the car. He pulls the car over, and then he says to the guy, "Time to relieve the reptile." And then he goes out on the side of the road and pees.
That's a Jack Dash.
"Time to relieve the reptile." I remember when I saw that, I was like, what? "Time to relieve the reptile." That's what Robert Culp says. That was a euphemism for urinating in that movie. I'm not making it up.
I fully believe it.
One of my favorite horrible lines in movie history. So, all right, we got a break here for the news, which means you guys call in right now at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, and the first two callers in will be our two contestants, one round each of Know Your Onion, where you have to tell the difference between a real news headline and an onion news headline. So phone lines are open right now. First two people will be our contestants for this morning, and you'll be a winner playing Know Your Onion, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. 981-7200. Call now. All right, take a quick break, and then the news is up. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. Wildcard Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything. Who? What was that and who requested it?
So that was David Sanborn with the Chicago song, and that's coming to us from the 773.
Oh, all right. There you go. Welcome back, everybody. We're going to get back to the conversation about Disney Plus, which launched yesterday. And if you have any thoughts on it, we're going to get back to that conversation in a little bit. 312-981-7200. But right now, it's time for our wonderful Know Your Onion. And this is where Tom is your host, and he reads some news headlines. And you have to decide, our contestants have to decide, whether they are real or from the satirical newspaper comedy Onion. So real or onion, Know Your Onion. Let's get it started.
It's time to Know Your Onion.
Always amazed when 60,000 people squeeze into the studio here.
They're packed like sardines. It's
fantastic. Okay, are we ready to play?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's bring in our first contestant. This is Sam on WGN. Hi, Sam.
How you doing, Nick?
All right, you familiar with The Onion?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so what you got to do is, Tom will read you a news headline, and you have to decide whether it's real or from The Onion, okay?
Okay, all right. Got it.
All right, Tom.
All right, let's do this thing. Let's get a little music going. Okay.
There we go. Okay.
Sam, your first headline. Let's go over to a little bit of politics. MSNBC poll finds that support for Bernie Sanders has plummeted 2 points up. Is that real or is that The Onion?
That's real.
Well, let's see. No, that is The Onion, sir.
Yeah, 2 points up.
Oh, that's The Onion.
Yeah, that's The Onion. So you got one right. You got one wrong, Sam. All right,
okay, let's go.
All right, let's go over to the sports world. The Detroit Lions switched to a no-coverage defense to prevent Mitch Trubisky from losing his starting QB job. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I think that's real.
Well, let's see. No.
Nope.
Oh, God.
That's The Onion.
Ah.
They did not switch to a no-coverage defense.
Right.
No. Oh, no.
All right, Sam. One more, and you don't win. So
I got the big onion.
You
got
to get three. Okay. You got to get three in a row, right, Sam? Okay, go ahead.
All right, Sam. Your next headline: police say that people who smoke weed have green tongues. Is that real or is that The Onion?
That's The Onion.
Let's see.
No God! No God! Please no! 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 No!
Nope, Sam, no. Wrong. That's three in a row wrong. So,
Oh my God!
Yeah. So, well, listen. Yeah, everybody is a winner here. We're gonna give you a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Men. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. So, hang on, Sam. Hold the line. Okay. All right. Boy, that didn't go well.
No, but no. He gave a good effort.
He did. All right, let's see. We'll get our second contestant here, and this is Scott. Hi, Scott.
How you doing?
All right, you familiar with The Onion?
Yeah,
okay.
I am.
All right, so you got to guess whether they are real news headlines or from The Onion. Here we go.
Okay, Scott, your first headline. A baby has been given free entry into a nightclub for life after his mother gives birth on the dance floor. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I'll say real.
Well, let's see.
Excellent!
That is very real, coming to us from Buzz in Ireland.
Oh, of course it's Ireland.
Where babies
of
drop out.
Of course it's Ireland.
At the tip of a hat. A man waves hello at a woman and a baby pops out.
That's fantastic. I love that took place in Ireland. All right. All right, Scott, good job. One for one. Here we go.
All right, Scott, your next headline. A mutinous cat was put in solitary confinement for freeing other cats from a shelter. Is that real or is that The Onion?
A mutinous cat?
Yes, a mutinous cat.
Mutinous cat?
Yes, he was...
Put in solitary confinement?
Yes, he was put in solitary confinement for freeing other cats from a shelter.
I'll say it's real.
Let's see. Very real.
It's real, and it's an awesome story. And I love the picture that they used where I read it from, because like the cat is like looking out the window, like he's in solitary confinement. He's looking out the window, but the cat was opening up a bunch of cages and letting cats out.
I think I remember that.
That's fantastic. All right, Scott, you're two for two, man. Good job. You get one more right, and you're
fantastic.
A winner. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Scott, your next headline. Let's talk about this. Coming from the entertainment world, we were talking a little bit of Disney Plus. Disney Plus suffers miserable debut after the Tennis Channel launches streaming service on the same day. Is that real or is that The Onion?
That's The Onion.
Let's see.
Sean Wick.
Very
yes,
good, Scott.
Nice job, Scott. You're a winner.
Three for three.
You got him. Good
I'm
job.
A winner. I can retire now.
Yeah, I think you can. You can retire because you're going to get a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, or you can order online at loumalnati's.com. Scott, congratulations. Good play. And hang on, okay? Hold on.
Certainly.
Okay, both guys, hang on the line. We've got to get a little information from you. And there you go. So the Disney Plus launched. Again, if you guys want to jump in here, if you have subscribed to the service, what do you think of the service? There were some glitches when it launched yesterday. And we want to get your thoughts on that. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. If you want to jump in for talk or text. But yes, Disney Plus launched, and we've got a whole bunch of movies that Disney Plus is offering that you should watch. This is from Polygon. They did a poll. The staff did a poll talking about which movies that are available on Disney Plus that you should watch. Here's the intro by way of introduction. The Twitter thread through the Walt Disney Company used to reveal the streaming launch titles for Disney Plus. It was a long one, with more than 300 tweets naming movies, excuse me, and TV shows ranging from iconic series like Star Wars and the Marvel Cinematic Universe to movies like Fuzz Bucket. Now that the platform has actually launched, it's all available to watch, and it's an overwhelming pile of entertainment, including decades of content, not just from Disney, Marvel, Pixar, National Geographic, but from the 20th Century Fox catalog as well. To help out, we've assembled 25 of the must-see movies streaming now on Disney+. So here they are. You can see them now. 101 Dalmatians is available now on Disney+. Walt Disney famously disliked 101 Dalmatians. He wanted his animated films to be validated as art, but art, it turns out, costs a great deal of time and money. After betting big on the elaborate, expensive fantasy films of his studio's early era, the animators needed to find technology that allowed faster, more affordable process. They found their solution in Xerox. 101 Dalmatians was an ideal match for the new technology with its more modern setting and hip art style. For Disney, it was a departure from the clean, luxurious, inky visuals of the past in favor of something rougher, grungier, and cruder. But then, and even now, critics and fans have championed 101 Dalmatians' aesthetic. If you look closely, you can see the animators penciling, even if the magnetic dust from the Xerox process. The improved definition of modern TVs makes it what Disney saw as flaws more visible. But decades later, those flaws give the movie the vitality that can't be found. So there you go. The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. This is from 1941, or 49. The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. Why did Disney Animation pair adaptations of 1900s Scottish children's novel and an 1800s American ghost story? Because the money made sense. It's a minor miracle this double bill exists, let alone that it's so enjoyable. Disney was first pitched an adaptation of The Wind in the Willows in 1938. The film began production in 1941, following the Disney animators' strike, but along with other projects at the studio, it was hobbled by financial constraints. Over the following years, the project closed and reopened production, but Walt Disney was never fully satisfied with the project, ultimately demanding it shift from a feature-length production to a 25-minute short. Disney's adaptation of Washington Irving's The Legend of Sleepy Hollow saw a similar fate, getting its runtime chopped. With two shorts on hand and a need to make the most of what had been produced, Disney pared a decade's worth of animation into one strange release. Watching the films, none of this behind-the-scenes drama manifests. They're lively, playful adaptations of childhood classics full of old-fashioned tunes and moody landscapes, perfect for a cool and windy fall day. And even though Mr. Toad doesn't score a full film, he's honored to this day with precious real estate at Disney theme parks in the form of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Oh, there you go. All right, more movies that you should watch on Disney+. And again, if you guys want to jump in with your thoughts on Disney+, if you've got it, how was the launch? What have you been watching? And we want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. Let's break for weather, and we'll get back to the phone calls about Disney+ and some of the movies that are available that you should watch.
You won't look where you don't want. I won't be where I don't want. Gunshots, I fall down, and maybe you don't want to be caught.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, winding up with Wild Card Wednesday. Give me a Wild Card Wednesday. What was that? Who requested it?
So that's coming to us from Ike, and it's called Steal the Night, and it's from the movie Bloodsport, which is a great film, a landmark film.
Yeah. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Steve Grzanich is coming up with the opening bell, and the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN. We've been talking about some of the stuff that's available on Disney Plus, some of the movies that are available that you should check out. Before that, though, did you see the news here? Dean's Foods files for bankruptcy?
Yeah, the milk?
Yeah. America's milk biggest milk producer files for bankruptcy. Dean Foods. I thought I was personally keeping them in business with the amount of milk that I drink. I live alone, and I go through a gallon of milk in about 5 days.
That's shocking. I think, wow. Well, you're certainly not lactose intolerant. That's,
oh, no.
That's for sure.
No. I love milk. I drink it with every meal, unless I'm out to dinner, like at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, every meal. But that's sad.
I mean, it is unfortunate. I don't really drink milk anymore. My doctor told me not to.
Yeah?
He's just like, yeah, you're not. You're a little bit too milk-fed, my boy.
Uh-huh.
He told me.
So stuff that's available on the Disney Plus that you might want to check out. These are recommendations. Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Do you know Bedknobs and Broomsticks?
Yeah, that was one of the like tapes that my grandma used to put on all the time. I was growing up.
I remember that one. I saw that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
How about the animated movie Bolt? The little dog.
Isn't that the one with John Travolta and Miley Cyrus?
Yes.
Okay.
Here's a classic, Escape to Witch Mountain, yeah. which stars, by the way, one of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Kim Richards, who I had a massive crush on. Came out in 1975. I was 10, so I loved her. Fantasia 2000.
Now that is a movie
I adore. It's terrific.
The bit that they do for Rhapsody in Blue by George Gershwin, mm-hmm, is phenomenal.
All right, how about this one, Flight of the Navigator?
I've not seen Flight of the Navigator.
Oh, it's really good.
Yeah? What year is that one?
86.
86.
Yeah. No, it's really good. For a Pixar choice, they chose Inside Out. God, I love that movie.
I'm a fan. Yeah.
Oh, God. I cried.
Poor Bing Bong.
Oh, man. Please. I cried like 50 times during that movie.
Yeah. Isn't Bing Bong? He's voiced by Richard Kind.
Richard Kind. Everybody does great voice work in that movie. Everybody. Louis Black.
Louis Black,
Louis
is,
Black
anger.
Is anger. Yeah. And Amy Poehler is adorable. That's a great movie. Inside Out is a great movie. Pixar has a lot of great movies. My favorite, of course, being, and I've mentioned before, WALL-E. The original Iron Man, they recommend. I haven't seen the original Iron Man. Seriously, I've not seen the original Iron Man since it came out. I saw Iron Man 2 in Dublin when we were in Ireland.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I liked it more than most people because I was in Dublin. Because I was in a happy place.
I don't think it's that bad, but Mickey Rourke was definitely not the choice.
Yeah, you know, it's yeah. I mean, a lot of people hate Iron Man 3 because of the way they handled Ben Kingsley's character. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was absolutely hilarious.
I was salty because at the time I was still pretty big into reading comic books regularly.
Yeah.
And
it made a lot of people angry.
Yeah, the Mandarin is like the big bad of the Iron Man universe.
Right.
He's like the bad
guy. And they made him a joke.
Yeah.
Like Shane Black made him a joke.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious.
It was pretty funny.
And I thought Ben Kingsley was great in it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, James and the Giant Peach. Love that movie.
Very good.
Journey to the Center of the Earth from 1959. Absolute classic. Lilo and Stitch. Great movie.
Yeah, there was a weird time in the early part of that decade of 2000 to 2010 where they were really experimenting.
Yeah.
Because you had Lilo and Stitch, you had Treasure Planet.
Right.
Which was such a bomb. It was one of the worst bombs in their history.
Lilo and Stitch, the characters are so weird.
Yeah.
And I love the animation. I love I loved it. They recommend Miracle, which is the second best hockey movie ever made.
Do you believe in miracles?
After Slapshot. Kurt Russell rules in it.
Yeah. I saw that at the Pickwick. I remember seeing that at the Pickwick.
It's a great movie. A great movie. Muppet Movie. The original Muppet Movie, which is a classic. They recommend The Parent Trap.
I'm guessing the original and not the Lindsay Lohan one?
They're recommending the Haley Mills one.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Well, they're both good.
Yeah.
And I had a crush on Haley Mills, too. Everybody my age had a crush on Haley Mills, one of my first crushes. I've mentioned this before. The first crushes that I remember were Haley Mills, Barbara Feldon, who was Agent 99 on Get Smart, and Yvonne Craig, who was Batgirl. Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl. I don't even know which one that is.
That's the original.
That's the first one?
Which is really great.
It's good. I mean, it's good.
I think people have kind of forgotten why that started out as a franchise. It's because that first movie was really good.
It went way too long. Way too long. The Princess and the Frog from 2009. Return to Oz. They're recommending Return to Oz. I love that.
You got to have that.
The first sentence I can't say on the air, but it says this movie. This is the first sentence of their recommendation. This movie is deeply effed up.
Which is true.
Oh, completely true. I love Return to Oz. And I've mentioned this a million times. The opening scene has Dorothy being electrocuted.
Electroshock therapy.
Yeah, electroshock therapy. The Rocketeer from 1991.
Yeah. Directed by Joe Johnson, who would go on to do the first Captain America movie.
Yep. And stars a very, very lovely Jennifer Connelly. The Sandlot. You know, I just never got into that movie. Everybody loves it, and I never got into it.
I like it enough.
Why are they recommending Tron Legacy?
I don't know. That's a misstep. That's a mistake.
Why would you recommend anybody watch that movie?
No, it's not worth anybody's time.
And then finally they recommend, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
The minute I saw it on there, I knew I was going to watch it like today.
It's one of the greatest movies ever made.
Uh-huh.
One of the greatest movies ever made.
An impressive feat of animation.
To this day, it holds up. And one of the things I love about that movie, and there's so much I love about that movie, I love everything about Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but one of the things that I love is that they could never make it now because you couldn't get the rights to all of those different characters from different studios all in one. At the end, when they find out that they've regained Toontown, I cry every time because it's like all these amazing, memorable characters all jumping up for joy and they're happy that Toontown is theirs. I cry every time. So, all right. Well, there you go. That's some of the stuff you can watch on Disney Plus, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Dan Feinberg joins us for his biweekly visit. We got a lot of television to talk about, and that'll be happening tomorrow, along with Triple Play Thursdays.